today, for the next couple of weeks, we're going to spend some time with Paul's letter to the church in Philippi. This letter is written about 10 years after Paul's first visit there, the place he met Lydia, who became a leader of the church, the place that he cast a demon out of a slave girl, only to be thrown in prison for his good work, where he was miraculously freed from his chains after a midnight praise and worship fest in the cell, only to stay in place there once he was free, which led to an opportunity to share the good news of Jesus with the jailer and his family. You may remember that story from a couple of weeks ago. And as Paul wrote this letter to the church 10 years later, he was under house arrest. He was in jail again. He spent a lot of time there. He was under house arrest. This was the final arrest of Paul. He was awaiting trial before Caesar in Rome. He was guarded at all times, but he was allowed to have visitors, and he even continued to preach and teach while he was in prison. And when the Philippian church heard about his imprisonment, they sent one of their church leaders with money to help care for Paul's personal needs. And that leader came and delivered, spent time with Paul, actually got really sick and almost died. But eventually he got better, and Paul sent him back to the church, back to the Philippians, with a thank you note for their support. And that is what we know as the Book of Philippians. It's Paul's thank you letter to the church. Unlike many of Paul's letters that we read, that we now have in our New Testament, these letters to other churches quite frequently were correcting theology or practices that had gone astray since he founded the churches. Or he was settling arguments. There was always some sense of correction and exhortation in those letters. But this letter is different. This letter is warm and loving and joyful. Paul would probably say he didn't have a favorite church, but this letter reads like maybe he had a favorite. And it's really fairly amazing that Paul could offer these gentle, joyful words. If you think about his circumstances, he was in jail and he didn't know what was going to happen, whether he would be released or if he would be executed. But rather giving in to despair or cynicism, he wrote with Christ-like humility and love. He could do this because he was transformed by the gospel. The love and humility that Jesus displayed by giving his life for others forever changed Paul's life, and it introduced him to a new way of being human. He learned, as he writes in this very letter, to be content in all circumstances because he had all he needed through Christ who strengthened him. And Paul's words in this first part of the letter tell us of another source of his joy. You see, he knew that he was not alone. The church in Philippi and many others were his partners in the work of the gospel. We see this from the very beginning. In verse 3, he writes, "I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now." As Paul was in prison, he remembered his friends. His memories of them led him to give thanks to God, and this thanksgiving led naturally to joyful prayer on their behalf. And Paul was grateful not just for his personal relationship for the church, but for the ways in which they were partners in spreading the good news about Jesus. When Paul was in his prison cell, he knew that he was not alone, that others were praying for him and were continuing the work of sharing the gospel. And that gave him great joy. The word that's translated as sharing or as partners in this text is the Greek word koinonia. And that's sometimes translated as fellowship. That's a pretty good translation if we take it to its deepest place, a relationship of deep connection and mutual work rather than surface encounters. It's more than casual friendship shared over potluck dinners. Koinonia originally had commercial overtones, commercial meaning. So if two people bought a boat, for example, and started a fishing business, they were said to be in koinonia, a formal business partnership. They shared a common vision, and they invested together to see the vision become a reality. So if we understand koinonia that way, true Christian fellowship, partnership in the gospel, means sharing the same vision of getting the gospel into the world, and then investing personally to make it happen. Koinonia involves personal sacrifice from all parties. Perhaps financial, but in many other ways as well, with talents and time and energy. So when Paul thanks God for the fellowship, the partnership, the koinonia of the Philippians, he is thanking God that from the very first day of their conversion, they rolled up their sleeves and they got to work and got involved in the advance of the gospel. I've been reading a new translation of scripture, which I think I've shared with you before. It's the First Nations version. It's an indigenous translation of the New Testament. And it describes this as, we have walked side by side in the telling of the good story. Ooh, I love that description. We have walked side by side in the telling of the good story. Because you see, the good news of Jesus, our experience of God's love and grace, isn't an individual possession. It's a communal reality that God is enacting all the time, in which we are invited to participate. So instead of focusing on individuals, Paul calls attention to the community. He says, all the saints who together as a community share in the gospel. This means sharing alike in the joys and in the sufferings of our common life on behalf of God's love for the world. To share in the gospel is to grasp the fullness of what it means to embrace and live the good news of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. To share in the gospel is to love God and to love neighbor no matter what. Paul's experience reminds us that even if you are persecuted and end up in prison because you refuse to stop loving and refuse to give up the values and practices and testimony that you have learned from Jesus, then you must carry on loving even while in prison. This kind of dedication is only possible when we're strengthened by Christ. And it is the church that is the body of Christ here on earth, joining in the strengthening. When I think of you, my church family, I am so grateful. And in my prayers, I thank God for the ways in which we have continued to be faithful partners in the gospel. In good times, when the pews overflowed and our mission efforts stretched far and wide and were very visible, but also in more challenging times, when we weren't all in agreement, when the person you sat beside on Sundays made very different choices than you in the voting booth and in life, when a pandemic came that none of us were prepared for, when former ways of doing things just didn't work anymore. I thank God for your acts of faithfulness. Small and large, donations given, weeds pulled, community gatherings hosted, meals prepared, cards sent, walls painted, basketball goals installed, youth encouraged, bathrooms cleaned, weekend lunch bags packed, food sorted, songs sung, lessons taught, shut-ins visited, children cared for, the list goes on and on. I thank my God for you. Sometimes it can seem when we look around that all that work, all that sharing in gospel ministry hasn't yielded much fruit. I think the Philippians probably felt that way sometimes. But I know it has. I've seen the fruit in my own life as we've grown together for the last 2 decades. And I have seen it in you and in our community. Next year, we will celebrate our 60th anniversary as a church. And this community is a better place because of those who followed God's dream and planted a small church on a corner so many years ago. There is much more to do. But as Paul reminded the Philippians, it is God who began this good work. It is God who called us to partner with God and each other in that work. And it is God who will continue this work until it is finally finished on the day Christ Jesus returns. When we feel discouraged, we must remember that God is at work, and we have the joy and the responsibility to join in that work. What we do may seem unimportant in the chaos of the world today, but God is always bringing order out of chaos from the very beginning, redeeming that which seems irreparably lost. And our faith calls us to koinonia, to fellowship, to partnership with God and each other in the sharing of the good news. And God, who set our feet on this good path, will keep walking it with us, showing us how we can share the gospel with our neighbors. One of the ways that I prepare for sermons is to listen to audio commentaries. There are a couple of podcasts where theologians and pastors discuss the scripture for the week. And so this week, one of them noted the love and tenderness of this passage and said, "I wish someone would speak words like that over me." And I nodded in agreement. And then I realized that it would be good for you to hear them spoken over you too. So, my friends, here's the good news. We're not alone because we are partners in the gospel. And I do thank my God for you. May you find joy in each other and in our gospel partnerships with each other, being assured that God, who began a good work in you and us, will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Carry each other in your hearts and share God's grace with each other. Have the affection of Jesus Christ for each other. Let your love abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God.